And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, today we have entered into our most holy week of the Christian year. Strangely, the joyful song that we sang as we processed around the church, celebrating the arrival of our King in Jerusalem, was soon overshadowed by our shocking and sad gospel lesson. Surely this is akin to what happened that week as Jesus entered Jerusalem on Sunday to hear, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Only 4 days later to hear another crowd shouting, "Crucify him." During these final 2 weeks of Lent called Passion Tide, the church bids us to think deeply about the passion or suffering of our Lord Jesus and what it means for us. During the course of this week's services, we will read through the passion narratives of all four Gospels. And this will surely assist us to think deeply about these awful and yet necessary events. This morning I would like to draw our attention to a short section from our Gospel lesson. Maybe pleased I'm not going to preach on the whole thing. But I'm referring to the verses where Jesus appears before Pontius Pilate for the second time. In this scene, for the second week in a row, we are reminded of the innocence of Jesus. Last week, Jesus asked his detractors, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Affirming his own innocence. And this week, we have two witnesses in our text which also affirm his innocence. The first witness is Pilate himself. He tried his best to get out of executing Jesus. In a previous scene, he tried to pass him off on Herod, but now Jesus is back in front of him. He then tries to use the custom of setting a prisoner free as a way of releasing Jesus. He purposely brought forth a man named Barabbas, who was a notorious prisoner, as the second option for release. We know from the other Gospels that Barabbas had led an insurrection in which he had committed theft and murder. Pilate probably thought, "Surely they will ask me to release Jesus instead of Barabbas, and then I will be done with all of this." But Pilate was wrong. In the midst of all this, Pilate's wife sent him a message that she had suffered much in a dream about Jesus that day. She told him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man." Here is the second witness to the innocence of Christ in our text. This theme of Christ's innocence would become prominent throughout the New Testament. The reason why this is of such importance is because of its connection with the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. The sacrificial animals, as you will recall, were to be spotless, the best of the flock. So the sinlessness of Jesus is related to the idea that he was the ultimate sacrifice, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But there is an even deeper connection here with the sacrificial system, which our text leads us to think about. Whenever a worshiper under the Old Covenant brought his sacrifice to the temple, it was understood that the animal which gave its life was doing so in the place of the one who made the offering. That is, the offerer was guilty of sin, and the penalty for that sin was supposed to be death, just as it was in the Garden of Eden. But God, in his mercy toward sinners, allowed a sacrifice to be offered in the place of the sinner. It was a clear case of substitution. The one who brought the animal would actually place his hand upon that animal and confess his sins to the priest as a way of transferring his guilt. And then that animal would give its life in his stead. There is a vivid portrayal of this concept in our lesson surrounding the circumstances with Jesus and Barabbas. Pilate made the offer to the crowd to set one of them free and to execute the other one. And in the story, the crowds cried out for Barabbas, the notorious criminal, to be set free and for Jesus to be crucified. An innocent man was crucified in the place of the guilty man. In a very real way, this scene helps us to understand a central truth regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. An argument can be made that every one of us is Barabbas. Now, you may recoil and say, I've never been involved in such crimes. But I would remind you that in God's courtroom, every single one of us, like Barabbas, would receive a guilty verdict. In St. Paul's words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that same apostle would go on to write shortly later, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In the scene of our gospel lesson, the guilty Barabbas was set free on account of the innocent Jesus. And in the scene of our lives, we who are guilty before God are also set free on account of Jesus. He died in our place, the innocent for the guilty. He was our substitute. The prophet Isaiah envisioned this scene in the 53rd chapter of his prophecy when he foretells what Christ would do for us. He said, surely he took up our infirmities, and he was pierced for our transgressions. And again, he was crushed for our iniquities. And once more, by his wounds we are healed. It was passages like this that moved the great Anglican hymn writer Charles Wesley to write, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? During this holy week, let us meditate upon this thought. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, guilty like Barabbas, Christ died for us. And because he died for us, we are set free. Free from the enslavement to sin, free from the snare of the devil, free from the fear of death. We have been set free to live. You almost wonder what Barabbas must have felt like as he walked away that day, escaping his own cross. Another stood in his place, and he went free. Surely he was never the same again. And when we come to understand that Jesus did the same thing for us, neither should we be the same. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.